program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Jack Frost roasting on an open fire, chestnuts nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung like Eskimos. Everybody knows tiny missiles all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. And every mother's child is gonna sleigh, every reindeer on his way, and so I'm offering this simple phrase kids from 1 to 2. Although it's been said many times, many ways, we'll find it hard to sleep tonight.
Hello everybody, this is William Shatner, and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is George Takei from Star Trek, wishing all beings on all planets a Merry Christmas and a Warp Speed New Year.
Hi, this is Jonathan Frakes from Star Trek The Next Generation, wishing the entire universe a happy holiday season.
And if I'm going to tell you one thing, I'm going to tell you this. Have a safe and happy New Year and Christmas, but don't drink and drive. Do one or the other.
Patients, this is Doc Ellis in a can, coming to you from far in the past. Tonight, I would like to regale you with the oldest Xmas story, the real one, the story of Saturnalia. Admittedly, much of this will be old news to many of you, so I urge you know-it-alls to embrace whatever buzz is currently coursing through your system and just concentrate on the pretty sounds behind my voice. If, through some personal negligence, you have failed to acquire a buzz, then I urge you to quietly masturbate. First, one must remember that the history from way back in the day is sketchy, to say the least. The Homo saps of antiquity tended to imbue their all too mortal leaders with deific qualities, and the recorded histories tend to reflect this. There is little use in pretending that anything has changed. Our story begins in an amorphous realm, with Saturn, whatever or whoever he was, deposed from fairyland by his son Jupiter, just as Saturn had deposed his own father. Not to be totally stymied, he made his way to Rome, where he ruled with his friend Janus, god of doorways and gates. Apparently, Saturn did an adequate job, because both Greeks and Romans refer to this period of history as the Golden Age. This age of Saturn's rule was typified by what one could, these days, only call socialism. There was no private property, and therefore a very limited class struggle, especially for a society that employed slaves. Nor were there any wars. This notion of equality was systemic, with the common belief that the favor of the gods, all of them, was spread equally among all people. Of course, all things must come to an end. The histories differ on what exactly happened to Saturn, but he did get the boot, and was commonly believed by Romans to be slumbering on a secret island somewhere off the coast of Britain, presumably awaiting something or another to return to Rome and once again hearken the rebirth of the Golden Age of Equality. So, as a tip of the cap to his buddy, Janus, who apparently managed to hang on, established the week-long festival of the Saturnalia. Although this was yet another festival on a Roman calendar clogged with orgies and similar shindigs, Saturnalia was, by far, the most popular. And let us not forget that the literal meaning of popular is of the people. This popularity was due to the fact that the Saturnalia was an annual revisitation of the equality of the Golden Age. During the Saturnalia, slaves and masters were on the same level, and in the more progressive households, their roles were reversed, with the servants literally wearing the clothes of the master and sitting at the big table, served by their masters. One can only assume that this 1 week of role reversal was an added incentive for the masters to be equitable to the help during the other 51. In addition to all of this, during the festival, street gambling was allowed, and all executions, trials, and wars were suspended. Now, tell me if this sounds familiar. During Saturnalia, the Romans placed candles in their windows. They sloughed about with their friends and family, and decorated their homes with wreaths and garlands, exchanged gifts, and endlessly feasted. No trees. They stole that one from the Druids. However, there will always be the gifts. Gifts wrapped in colored cloth and decorated with poisonous holly were exchanged between parents, children, friends. However, the gift-giving became somewhat of a problem because the inequality of the society was exposed in the relative gift qualities and quantities, detracting from the overall utopian Golden Age ideal. Therefore, a law was passed that decreed that Romans could only give gifts to those of a lower economic status than themselves. And of course, there's always someone trying to prematurely screw up a good thing. When Augustus came to power, being a fan of judicial machinations, he shortened the Saturnalia to 3 days. In time, though, subsequent emperors gradually restored it to a full week. And now for the depressing part. You may know that as the Roman Empire spread across Europe, more of the population went Jesuphilic. However, Saturnalia, despite its decidedly un-Christian overtones, was more a part of their culture than this new religion. And so, in order to placate the population and hasten their acceptance of the Jehovah's supposed New Deal, the Mass of Christ was moved to December in the year 336. Thanks. Just goes to show you where compromise gets you. I'm sure you can pretty much fill in the rest for yourself. Xmas became a sort of best-of compilation of the most popular holidays of the various cultures assimilated by the Roman Empire. And, as usual, you may be wondering what my point is. The point is tickling your femoral artery. I snuck it in down there while you were watching my lips dance. No, sorry, that's just a little office humor. The point is that, yes, once again, you are sane and those around you are not. We live in the type of culture that takes such a perfect holiday and perverts it into what it is today. The squalid overtime masturbation of a speed freak straining to squeeze out the last fetid drops of its own essence. Therefore, you should not be letting this low-rent confidence racket dictate your behavior or self-image. Yeah, I know, that same old point, again. Why do I keep wasting your time with the same old point? Well, let me tell you something. This damn holiday is like a black hole for our kind. I will stop repeating myself when you stop contemplating suicide. Frankly, I lost the taste a long time ago for the round-the-clock Yeti autopsies that typify this season. Do you know why you might be depressed right now? Do you? Perhaps not. You might think that you are depressed because you see those around you, possibly a mate or a close friend, enthusiastically involved in this vulgar display. You may be tempted to think that your inability to appreciate this spectacle is due to some weakness or deficiency of character, rather than your precious, intrinsic lie filter. Trust me, at some point, maybe in your lifetime, humanoids will collectively arrive at a hairpin turn in the road, at which point you will need your lie filter, because the usual jackanapes will point ahead, off the road, what is to them straight, and say, "Well, this is the way we've always gone, so let's keep going this way." And you will say, "But the road is over here." I counsel you not to waste too much energy at this, because not only will they not listen to you, but after a short period of readjustment, you will find the world a much easier place with the stupidest 75%, give or take, depending on your model, lying in the ditch with broken necks. Let's hope that they march into the ocean or otherwise dispose of themselves, or we will have a good deal of stinky work on our hands. My advice to you on this matter is to learn how to operate a bulldozer now. Incidentally, for you doctrinal purists out there, our models show that this, well, what we call the chaffening, may take place long before the exes swing in for a visit. And, of course, this is all part of Bob's non-plan. The reason we're still stuck here is because so many of you have chosen to breed with the pretty, pretty apes. Once we do a little house cleaning, we will be better able to repopulate the planet with the fruit of our divine Yeti spunk and or filament. You don't want to miss all the fun, do you? Of course not. So climb down from the windowsill, because that destructive, impulsive action is exactly what they want you to do. Because you, with your wide eyes and your inability to buy into their brand of idiocy, make them uncomfortable. And comfort is their first priority. I know in your weaker moments you look at the one side and they're having buxom beauty swinging stud beach parties beckoning you to join them. And over here is nothing but a bunch of old hippies, funny haircuts, and worst of all, so-called doctors with dirt under their fingernails. Another point, and then I'm stuck. Never confuse wanting what they have with wanting to be them. You can have better than what they have by just leaving your bet on the table. You've laid it down, and that's the hardest part, so just let it ride. Sell high, remember? Because if you do become them, you lose everything. So, enough. This too will pass. No one ever said it would be easy. Of course, they're going to hammer you with their crude but effective icons every second of every minute of every hour of every day until you die. That's the bad news. The good news is that you can and will stick it out right here with the rest of us, because the penalty for destroying something as valuable, value is defined by rarity, remember? The penalty for destroying something as valuable as a concentration of Yeti DNA, no matter how diluted, is inexplicable with mere words. Suffice to say that death is not the end, so don't even bother. There you have it. Suck it up and don't let them do it to you anymore. You are right and they are wrong. Stop dying. I'll see you at the end. Good night and have a nice fish fight.
It's a fun time. It is a fun time every December. It is also a joy month. I like this holiday a lot.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Christmas is a fun time to get gifts. People stay home for the holidays. They spend time with their children. That's what it is all about.
Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Christmas makes people feel right at home. Christmas gives me harmonization. Christmas is Jesus Christ's birthday. That's what it is all about in the mix.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Rock over London, rock on Los Angeles, all state, you're in good hands.
Sleeping, I've called Santa Claus some loving, but it's saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. She didn't see me creep down the stairs and have a peek. She thought that I was tucked up in my bed half asleep. Oh, I saw Mommy tickle Santa Claus.
Transmission number 13 received 01 December 14th, 0420 hours, Sector Foxtrot, Uniform Kilo.
Ho, ho, ho! We must kill them! We must incinerate them! Miscreant after miscreant, delinquent after delinquent, generation after generation. What do you call it when the naughty accuse the nice? They are naughty! They are naughty, and we have a list of them! Those nabobs! I hate them! How I hate them!
And to further illustrate my point,
you better watch out! You better not cry! You better not pout! I'm telling you why! is coming to
Well, well, well. It must be that time of the year again, when private fiscal expenditures soar and multinationals wait with bated breath for their garish presence. Yes, the busy tweaking season is upon us, but let us not get so caught up in the tweaking that we forget the reason for the season. The Lymph Node Institute proudly salutes over 6,000 years of mind control dating back to ancient Sumeria. We all know how easy it is to tweak, 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 and forget about the mind control. But this year, why not commit yourselves to reversing the polarity? Join the Lymph Node Institute in our celebration of the most precious gift of all, the gift of cognitive management. We welcome you and yours to our new home at www.lymphnode.net, where we put the con in mind control.
And Satan is his name. The rats ate all the presents and the reindeer Well, Christmas time is here again. The people in the north are building snowmen, and the people in Iraq are making sandmen, I guess. And the astronauts are up there in the International Space Station right now. And they're looking down at all the pretty lights and wondering if they're Christmas lights or cluster bombs. But wherever you are, you should always remember the folks that aren't lucky enough to have a Christmas. There won't be Christmas on the moon, so don't you celebrate so soon, 'cause you'll feel guilty when you hear that Santa won't fly there this year. There's no Christmas on the moon. Can you keep a secret? They used to have happiness this time of year, but then Neil Armstrong arrived in moon gear, and he stepped from his craft onto their hallowed ground and crushed the tiny moon men and their holy town. One small step for man, one giant drag to moonkind. Yes, it is true, the moon people were very hard to see since they were only 3 inches tall. But with all those big Earth telescopes, you would think that somebody must have noticed their giant holy cathedral standing a mighty foot and a half above moon level. And high atop that, a giant sculpture of the Earth, which they worshipped. But not anymore. Not after that horrible day. There won't be Christmas on the moon.
No Christmas there.
So don't hang mistletoe so soon.
No, don't you dare.
'Cause you'll start weeping when you see there's not a single Christmas tree. There's no Christmas on the moon. They used to sip hot chocolate and sing special songs. They'd unwrap their presents and light their moon logs. Lovely Christmas trees were found covering the ground, but NASA sent those astronauts to chop them all down. One small step for man, one giant drag to moonkind. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. Christmas is December 25th, and the moon landing happened on July 20th, 1969. So, there's no way the moon people could have possibly been celebrating Christmas on that date. Wrong. You're forgetting about the time difference between the moon and the Earth, which is significant. And NASA would have known this since they had both calendars and calculators, even as far back as 1969. After all, you have heard of Christmas in July, haven't you?
All you zombies, join in, please, and we will sing our zombie Christmas carol.
Zombie night. Zombie night. Humans run. Humans fight. Chasing them through the forest to dine on heavenly brains. Zombie night. Humans run. Humans fight. Chasing them through the forest to feast on heavenly brains. Zombie night. Humans run. Humans fight. Chasing feast on heavenly brains.
Fight tuberculosis, folks. Christmas Eve, an old junkie selling Christmas seals on North Park Street. The priest, they called him. Fight tuberculosis, folks. People hurried by, gray shadows on a distant wall. It was getting late and no money to score. He turned into a side street and the lake wind hit him like a knife. Cab stopped just ahead under a streetlight. Boy got out with a suitcase. Thin kid in prep school clothes, familiar face, the priest told himself. Watching from the doorway, reminds me of something a long time ago. The boy there with his overcoat unbuttoned, reaching into his pants pocket for the cab fare. The cab drove away and turned the corner. The boy went inside a building. Yes, maybe. The suitcase was there in the doorway. The boy nowhere in sight. Gone to get the keys, most likely. Have to move fast. He picked up the suitcase and started for the corner. Made it, glanced down at the case. Didn't look like the case the boy had or any boy would have. The priest couldn't put his finger on what was so old about the case. Old and dirty, poor quality leather, and heavy. Better see what's inside. He turned into Lincoln Park, found an empty place and opened the case. Two severed human legs that belonged to a young man with dark skin. Shiny black leg hairs glittered in the dim streetlight. The legs had been forced into the case, and he had to use his knee on the back of the case to shove them out. Legs yet, he said, and walked quickly away with the case. Might bring a few dollars to score. The buyer sniffed suspiciously. Kind of funny smell about it. Is this Mexican leather? He shrugged. Well, some joker didn't cure it. The buyer looked at the case with cold disfavor. Not even right sure he killed it, whatever it is. Three is the best I can do, and it hurts. But since this is Christmas and you're the priest... He slipped three notes under the table into the priest's dirty hand. The priest faded into the street shadow, seedy and furtive. 3 cents didn't buy a bag, nothing less than a nickel. Say, remember that old Auntie Coker told me not to come back unless I paid him the 3 cents I owe? Isn't that a fruit for you, blowy stack, about 3 lousy cents? The doctor was not pleased to see him. Now, what do you want? I told you. The priest laid 3 bills on the table. The doctor put the money in his pocket and started to scream. I've had trouble. People have been around. I may lose my license. The priest just sat there, eyes old and heavy with years of junk on the doctor's face. I can't write you a prescription. The doctor jerked open a drawer and slid an ampule across the table. That's all I have in the office. The doctor stood up. Take it and get out, he screamed, hysterical. Priest's expression did not change. The doctor added in quieter tones, after all, I'm a professional man, and I shouldn't be bothered by people like you. Is that all you have for me? One lousy quarter G? Couldn't you lend me a nickel? Get out, get out! I'll call the police, I tell you. All right, doctor, I'm going. Christ, it was cold and far to walk. Rooming house, a shabby street, room on the top floor. These stairs off, the priest there pulling himself up along the banister. He went into the bathroom. Yellow wall panels, toilet dripping, and got his work from under the wash basin. Wrapped in brown paper, back to his room, get every drop in the dropper. He rolled up his sleeve. Then he heard a groan from next door, room 18. A Mexican kid lived there. The priest had passed him on the stairs and saw the kid was hooked. But he never spoke because he didn't want any juvenile connections, bad news in any language. And the priest had had enough bad news in his life. Heard the groan again, a groan he could feel. No mistaking that groan and what it meant. Maybe he had an accident or something. In any case, I can't enjoy my priestly medications with that sound coming through the wall. Thin walls, you understand. The priest put down his dropper, cold hall, and knocked on the door of room 18. GNS, it's the priest, kid. I live next door. You could hear someone hobbling across the floor. A bolt slid. The boy stood there in his underwear shorts, eyes black with pain. He started to fall. The priest helped him over to the bed. What's wrong, son? It's my legs, senor, cramps, and now I am without medicine. The priest could see the cramps, like knots of wood there in the young, lean legs, dark, shiny black leg hair. 3 years ago, I damaged myself in a bicycle race, and it is then that the cramps start, and he has the leg cramps back with compound junk interest. The old priest stood there, feeling the boy groan. He inclined his head as if in prayer, went back and got his dropper. It's just a quarter G, kid. I do not require much, senor. The boy was sleeping when the priest left room 18. He went back to his room and sat down on the bed. Then it hit him like heavy, silent snow. All the gray junk yesterday's. He sat there and received the immaculate fix. And since he was himself a priest, there was no need to call one.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up and listen up there. I'm glad to see you. A rock and roll song, which is called Come Bring Us a Coffee. Once upon a time, Kurt Kringle stole Evie the Beverage Park from a house. He used a screwdriver to jimmy the lock. After that, he didn't jump into the stolen car and started up the motor. He drove away the stolen car and hopped a suit. Chris Kringle was a car thief. Kris Kringle sped down West Fullerton Avenue near the Hawson Street looking for the thirst. He was flying while in the throttle. When the Chicago police officers spotted the stolen Maverick as it soon passed them, they turned on their siren. Then they went after the beat up stolen Maverick. Kris Kringle over. Kris Kringle tried to escape from the police. He was arrested for auto theft. He was put away to jail. Kris Kringle was a car thief. Kris Kringle was a car thief. Rock over London, rock on Chicago, Mitsubishi, the word is getting around. Set my soul on fire!
If you like us, like we like you, lymphnode.net.
Or write to us at
P.O. Box
670-541 Marietta,
Georgia
30066-0126.
If you would like more information on
the Church of the Subgenius,
you could write to them at
P.O. Box 181-417 Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118-1417 or visit them online
at
subgenius.com.
You have heard the Evolution Control Committee performing The Christmas Wrong, season's greetings from various Star Trek cast members, including the gay one. Yeah, the gay one, sure. Paul Slocum from 8-Bit People put together Up on the Housetop. Then you heard the crusty old Xmas lecture, followed by Wesley Willis performing Merry Xmas. Then the Santa Suite, Santa Needs Lovin'. The Secret Chiefs Trio performing I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Rockin' Disco Santa. Then you heard excerpts from Phil Fox's various adventures. Please Daddy, Don't Get Drunk This Christmas. Spinal Tap performed Xmas with the Devil. UFO Phil performed Christmas on the Moon. LNI did Zombie Night. And William Burroughs read The Priest They Called Him, while another, much younger corpse played feedback in the background. Wesley Willis performed Kris Kringle Was a Car Thief. And to wrap it up, the closest thing we have to a carol this time of year, Negative Land, with a reason not to give up. Christianity is, in fact, stupid. And playing your Christmas favorites on rubber bands, Jeff St. Pierre and Philip Antoniades in the background.
Spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, Christianity is stupid. 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 Communism is good. Communism is good. Communism is good. Communism is good. Can you hear that? Give up. Can you hear that? Give up. Give up. Give up. Give up. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Give up. Give up. Give up. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Communism is good. Communism is good. Give up. Give up. Give up. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Communism is good. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Communism is good. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Give up. Give up. Communism is good. Give up. Give up. Give up. Give up. Give up. 17 hours of faith. Give up. Give up. Give up. Give up. Give up.
Shop as usual. And avoid panic buying.
Ho, 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 people. As in, I want to screw this hoe and that hoe over there. Have a very cruddy XXXmas from your local psychic imp, Ted Man.